The Breakfast Club.
Good morning, Whitey.
Happy Black Friday, Daniel.
It is Black Friday. What are you buying today?
To be honest, I was in... I've been in intense negotiations over the last 24 hours or so about getting a few things.
Yeah, well, which...
I was busted online looking at golf clubs. So that's my number one target at the moment.
Do they have Black Friday sales with golf people?
They do.
Do they?
They do. 20% off. So I'm looking at that rather forensically at the moment. Haven't a lot of time. Do you reckon they'll sort of push it on to Saturday and Sunday, or do you think it'll be just a one-day-only situation?
The name sort of gives it away, doesn't it?
Yeah, I know. I'm a bit worried because I'm not sure I'm going to have the time to do it today.
Sort of Black Friday as opposed to Black Weekend.
Yeah, I know. But I'm keen to get... I think I've found my clubs that I want to get.
Right.
So whether I can get them or not, is debatable at this stage.
Okay. All right. Well, that's interesting. That's very, very interesting. Hey, I wonder if Rammer's buying golf clubs today. Adam Ramanauskas, Bombers champion, premiership player, these days manager to the Stars. I'm sure he's had a very busy couple of days with the AFL draft. Rammer, good morning.
Good morning. I got a set of golf clubs last year for my 40th birthday. So,
oh, right, yeah.
I'm good. I was a bit concerned there where Whitey was going, where he said, oh, I got busted online. I thought, wow, going to these areas.
It can happen.
Going to these areas in the morning, are we?
It can happen. Lockdown does crazy things to us all, Rammer.
Yes.
It can happen.
No, it has. It's been a busy couple of nights, and there's still a little bit to go later this afternoon with the rookie draft. So, it's terrific to see the reaction of the kids when they get drafted, their friends, the families, and, people jumping all over each other. Josh Fay, who was taken by the Giants, how many people were in Canberra just watching him, his name being called out. So,
which was significantly later than what was
intended. Absolutely it was, yeah.
There may have been some nervous people in that room.
He was in the AFL Academy this year, and he was best on ground in the game they played against the Geelong VFL team. So great stories, just great stories all around. I love the father-son stuff. Jackson Archer last night, Tajway Woden last night. We saw Nick Dacos and Sam Darcy on the first night. Yeah,
it's quite a few of them, wasn't there?
Yeah.
I mean,
yep.
How many? Burgoyne, Archer.
Burgoyne, yep. Motlop, is.
Motlop,
yeah.
Didn't think that Daniel Motlop would be old enough to have a kid ready to be drafted.
No, that surprised me, I must
admit. Didn't seem like that long ago that Daniel was plying his trade at North Melbourne and then Port Adelaide.
That surprised me, I must admit.
Australian Daniel Motlop took the best mark I've ever seen in a scratch match. It was like a training at Arden Street one day for North Melbourne, like at about 5:30 one night. Just stood on the shoulders of a teammate.
I did that often at training. No, that was my sort of Thursday night special.
On the trampoline?
Sure, Shoe. Just elevation, natural elevation, athleticism.
You had concrete in those long stops, didn't you? It's kept you at ground level.
It did. Hey, as picked up off this mess by Krazo, who's all over this, he's a real Ange Postecoglou fan. Celtic 2-1 up over Leverkusen in their Group G encounter in the Europa League at the moment. What are they, how many minutes in? 69 minutes in. They're 1-0 down after 16 minutes, and they scored the last two. Which currently puts them third in the group still. Obviously, games to be played. But it would be a big away win to be able to beat Leverkusen, who are on top of that pool at this stage of the competition. So we'll keep an update on that 70 minutes in.
Good. Rammer, we've talked about the draft pretty much all year about how it was going to be. Not so much compromise, that's with the drafts of the past with the Giants and the Suns, but sort of a lot of clubs going in blindfolded with the lack of football that's been played, not only this year, but last year. But now the draft's been done, were there any surprises, or did it kind of unfold the way that everyone thought it would?
There's always surprises. There's always players that you think should go, they don't go, or they go a little bit later.
But was it more dramatic this year? Was there an unpredictability about it? Because it didn't feel that way looking at it on the coverage.
No. You didn't see really any clubs really pushing to get a certain player. Port Adelaide, maybe on the first night to get Josh Sinn. I think Port Adelaide, we can ask Adrian Dodoro this, thought Essendon were going to take Josh Sinn. with the next pick. So they moved to get West Coast pick, but there wasn't too many trades. You know, there was a couple of trades to get a few points here and there for particular clubs, but I thought it all ran pretty smoothly.
Yeah, a lot of clubs had said that there was going to be significant trading of picks on the night. It didn't happen.
And you look at how clubs pick, like they got the 5 minutes on the clock. A lot of the picks were just in. They were straight in. So there wasn't a lot of waiting around. Like, you remember the old days where clubs would be sitting at the table and I'd ask for extra time and, you know, you don't see that anymore. It was really quick and bang, bang, bang. And Geelong did what Geelong do and draft Geelong Falcons players. And
that was the other thing that happened that I was keen to talk to you about, and I'm keen to talk to Adrian about this as well. There seems to be a push for clubs, and this might be a coincidence, but to pick players that actually barracked for the clubs that they went to. Not just that their parents play, they're in a father-son situation, but players that barrack for the club.
Yeah, which is always a nice touch.
I know, but it seems to be happening more and more.
Less likely to leave.
Yeah, that's true. Yep. There's a bit in that. I think so.
Player retention,
and then Fremantle picking WA players,
and also I think West Coast, besides their first pick in Campbell Chester, the other four picks were all WA players. Also,
the best thing that happened last night, Danny, and I was thinking of you when it happened.
What happened last night?
Was that Chad Warner's brother got picked up by Sydney.
The Chad?
It's a real brother-brother situation, which I still think there should be a rule for brother-brothers.
No, we can't have that. It's absolutely.
But they picked him. They picked him.
Well, that's okay, but that's everyone else had a chance. The first 39 picks were had a chance to pick him.
I actually got nervous, hoping that he'd be still available for that pick for Sydney, and because they had the chance to pick him with the earlier pick, and they didn't, and he was still there when they had their next pick.
All that is player retention. That's what it is. Yeah. Keeping the Chad happy, getting the brother in.
He can play, though.
Well, yeah, I know.
He can play.
I'm sure he can. I'm being a bit facetious.
But I think we'll overanalyze this for the next couple of days.
Because correct.
It's a bit light on for sport talk at the moment. But the reality of any draft is you really don't assess it, how each club went, probably for 3 to 5 years.
Yeah, that's interesting.
And that's where we should keep this. There's a big double page in the Herald Sun today with all the picks, and you can go in 3 to 5 years and tick and cross. So yep, this worked or that worked.
If
or
you
we
think that
this.
I'm keeping this page for 3 to 5 years, so I can tick and cross them,
you should.
Then you've got another thing coming.
No, you should. If you were a professional broadcaster, you would.
No. We have professional draft people who do this for us.
They do.
This is not necessary for me to do. I will not be photocopying this because I don't know how to work the photocopier, and B, it could give a fat rats about the 3 to 5 year plan of these kids.
It's unlikely the photocopier will work anyway.
I think there's a photocopier in the prize cupboard. Just got to find that kid.
Very interesting with your Hawks.
Well, they do. I've got Josh Ward coming up a little bit later on.
They went strong through the midfield.
Well, yeah. I got a text. No, not a text. There was a WhatsApp chat going on yesterday with some people that perhaps are invested emotionally in the brown and gold stripes. Where is that message? Oh, so the last 7 draft picks in order. Seamus Mitchell, 181 centimetres. Connor Downey, 185. Tyler Brockman, 181. John Newcomb, 186. Josh Ward, 181. Sam Butler, 184. Connor McDonald, 184. And they, Lockie Bramble, got chucked in at 181. There's a type. 181 to 186, the last 8 players to walk into the doors. That's an interesting mix. Normally you get at least one key poster.
Jai Sarong is 192.
No, this is before that happened, as I said. This is before. It was up to Sam Butler. Oh, Connor McDonald was before that. And then Jai Sarong came along. So outside of that...
Well, they must think they're...
There's a mid sort of hybrid liking.
Yeah, but also they must think their key stocks are well... looked after at Hawthorn.
Oh, I think it's more that Hawthorn are very light on in the midfield, outside your obvious 2 or 3. But yeah, you're right, Half. I mean, but the other club that did that, I reckon, was North Melbourne. They've now, if you look at what they've done now over the last 2 or 3 years, they've just picked a lot of mids, a lot of mids. And I know that that's been... Well, it's obviously a clear plan, but a bit of that's around Glenn Luff, North Melbourne list manager, who's big on
Fluffy.
Just a glut of midfielders. Get as many in as you can.
And you play them around the flanks.
That's right.
Yeah, so you know, your half-back, wing, half-forward, are basically midfield players now. You got to rely on your halfbacks to have some sort of defensive mechanism to their game, but you want your half forwards to be up high, to be moving, to be great kicks, and effectively when it's their turn then to come into the midfield full time, they can find the football really quickly.
Now, JHF, as he's now known, Jason Horne-Francis, the number one draft pick, we read today that he knocked back the chance to wear the number 18 of the King Wayne Carey because, quote, I wanted to create my own pathway.
Yeah.
He's pretty disrespectful to Ian Fairley.
Very
to Lockie Hansen.
Very disrespectful because he's, of course, wearing the number 6, which Malcolm Blight presented him last night. No,
which was, that was a nice touch.
Yeah.
That was a really nice touch.
Blight is a North man again?
Yep.
Yep. No, just checking.
Yep.
He slept in his jumper. Did you see that photo?
I did.
Yeah, that's nice.
I did.
I like that stuff.
Could have had one too many as well.
Cordial can do that once it's the sugar rush takes.
I think he's 18 already. He's allowed to have a drink.
No, because he's an elite athlete. He would never do that. You wouldn't allow that, your managers. Didn't we go through trawling through social media to see what these kids are up to?
Yeah.
Isn't that what you people do?
I remember the day I got drafted. Boy.
Oh, so do we. Your mother's still upset about the way she was treated.
The party afterwards.
Your mother was still upset.
Crazy, Mom. How loud do you want it?
Yeah, like disgraceful behaviour.
Never's not funny.
A beautiful blue tracksuit pants on too. Quicksilver tracksuit pants. I thought I was cool.
Do you know what? My daughter is buying them retro style. Secondhand at the moment.
No.
She's a secondhand shopper.
Yeah.
I just don't understand.
They love it.
Everyone's doing this.
Yeah, they love it.
Why?
There's a package a day at my house.
Why?
Because it's trendy. It's cool. Well, it's cheap. Everyone's happy.
How's this world become?
Well, I was walking.
It's trendy.
Recycling.
To go to op shops to buy other people's clothes.
Recycling.
My middle son.
Recycling.
My middle son
recycle
went on camp.
Your 2 liter bottle of milk.
When was the last time you got a bottle of milk?
In the plastic bottle. Not in a carton. You get the 2 liter bottle, you drink it.
You can't wear that.
And then you chuck it in the recycling bin. Clothes. Why would you want to wear other people's clothes?
It's trendy. It's cool.
No.
It makes me feel sick.
My middle son.
She are really upsetting.
It's come out of nowhere. I'm really big on this. Why would you want to go and buy other people's clothes?
Well, because you can.
Next thing, people will be going to those bins at car park, shopping centres. Well, this is... Oh, jeez.
Sorry, Adam.
My son went on camp the other week, and we had to get him a couple of bits and pieces, so we went to Cotton On.
Yeah. 40% off. I got a card.
Yeah.
20% off at Carlton. I got 40% off at Cotton On. How am I going?
Yeah, like, well.
What about the Salvation Army? How you got it there? What sort of card you got for that?
Well, no, it's a bit lower at the start with, so it's okay.
But they had, like, they usually, you know, you got all your NFL gear from there, with your Chicago Bears jumping and all that. They had, like, Foster's hats and Foster's T-shirts. And I said to my eldest son, because he was with us, I said, you don't even know what this is, do you? He goes, well, Foster's. And he goes, no idea. Never heard of it. Yeah.
It's a brand that sort of only really exists overseas in these days, isn't it?
Wild Man used to drink it in very early days.
Wild Man didn't drink, but the people that would drink Foster's.
Yeah.
Foster's Cup.
Of course.
Correct.
Of course.
I reckon it was the Foster's Melbourne Cup too for a while.
I reckon it might have been. Mm-hmm. I reckon there was a bit of action there.
But that retro one,
Prince Charles was encouraged to... Didn't he have to integrate Foster's into his speech at some stage?
I thought you were going to say out the shotgun a can or something on stage.
He probably did that too.
Arnold Brightus and John Dugdale, thank you to Grant for sending that through on the Twitter.
But that...
Had Foster's?
No, number 6.
I'm just asking.
Oh, sorry. We're
just random. Yeah,
I'm really rattled by that comment you made before that your daughter's doing this.
No, but it's cool.
It's not cool.
It is.
No, it's not.
If you walk around the streets and look at what the kids wear, they all wear these oversized T-shirts and they've got the, you know, corduroy hats on now, and it's all sort of like you got to – it's almost like you got to look sort of messy in a sense. That's sort of like the cool way to look at the moment.
Ooh, might be a chance to be cool. That's the case.
Oh, I think that's a stretch. I think that's a stretch.
We're going down that path.
It's a real stretch.
Like, unlike today, you got a like nice Adidas jumper on today.
That looks secondhand. Stewie's in Narre Warren.
100%.
Hello, Stewie.
G'day, boys. How are we?
Yeah, good, thank you.
Just want to send a congratulations out to one of my great mates. His son got drafted last night to the Hawks, Connor McDonald.
Oh, yes. He was much talked about yesterday. There was Geelong interested, the Blues were interested, and the Hawks picked him up.
Yeah, I wasn't happy with that. I'm a Blues supporter, and mean, 22 membership come in, and I thought this was a great omen, and then the bloody Hawks picked him up the 50 for us, and he just, he's out of duff and stock two half, and he lives down the road from Rama.
Is that right? Is he one of your boys,
Rama? That's correct. He, no, I know his dad very well, Barry McDonald. He's a very dear friend of ours, and lived next door to my grandmother in Dufton there, so...
Do you manage him?
No, I don't.
Oh, you missed the boat there. What's happened? Couldn't have been that tight.
Well, there's a story to everything. But no, he's a lovely...
Didn't want you. That's the story.
He's a lovely young man, Connor, and he'll do a good job at the Hawks because he's very, very committed to his craft.
Stewie, what's he play? Who's he play like?
I haven't seen Connor play, obviously, because of COVID and all
of course,
that. He's had a really good growth spurt. The last time I've seen him was 2019, and he's a real good ball hunter. He's pretty clean. So, yeah, just wishing him all the best to him.
Hey, Stewie, how are the Blues going to go next year?
Oh, well, I'm already going to get a tattoo. True Blue 22.
Love it, Stewie. Love it. That's just because for the AFLW competition and season coming up, Stewie's excited about. Thank you, mate. Nice to have you with us. Timmy is in Hobart. Hello, Timmy.
G'day, Daniel. Why'd he go to St. Vincent de Paul? He might get to pick up a set of pings. He knows he's no good in getting golf clubs. He's not about to go on the course because he's frightened the kangaroos. Boo!
That's a fair point. Timmy's all over you today.
I'm comfortable with kangaroos on the course. No dramas at all.
We're up to Balm Bugle next Friday for two nights, and we played Lost Farm on the Saturday, Balm Bugle Friday.
Oh, nice, Timmy.
Timmy, well couldn't done. Be more jealous if I tried.
Yeah, we've got a couple of, an old bloke called Pete and Bill. They drive the four-man, different days, the four-man cart for us. The boys have a fair few sherbets, and we have a great time.
Pete and Bill driving the cart. That is awesome.
We fill them up, the boys give them a bit of turps, and they end up nearly in the bunker with the cart. It's pretty funny.
Wouldn't be the first time, I reckon, Timmy. Wouldn't be the first time.
Well done. Great show. Well done.
Good on you. Appreciate your time. Love your work there, Timmy and Hobart.
We've actually got another. I've just received a message here wanting a shout-out. Well, we'll give the shout-out to Jared, to Mark, to Jacob, to Ben, to Aiden, to Darren, who are travelling in two cars up to Mildura, and they're on the hunt for the Oyen vanilla slice. You know, you know.
Does it move this vanilla slice?
They're very famous.
Does it patrol the forests?
They are very famous vanilla slices at Oyen.
Are they?
Yeah.
How many would you have? Would you go from Numurkah to Oyen and just have sample different fare from the bakery?
That'd be a bit far.
Well, I know that, but would you do it?
But no, but Jared and the team are on the road. They're listening to us as we speak.
That's the difference.
They're around St Arnad, so they must have started pretty early.
That's the difference with people like to upcycle clothes. You like to go to bakeries. That's how the world works.
That's right.
Yeah, I go to bakeries. I don't
people
upcycle
are different.
Clothes. I just upsize clothes.
People are different.
Time for us to spend some time talking about one of the big moments in sport across the weekend tonight at Sandown for the TAB Melbourne Cup. It is worth $500,000. And if I would like to have a representative on this occasion, I don't, but David Gill does. And he's got the second favourite, Coblenz, who's got box three in the TAB Melbourne Cup, 310 in the early markets. He joins us on the line. David, good morning.
Yeah, good morning, Daniel. How are you, Adam?
Great to have you with us. Great to have you with us on such a big occasion. Do you get nervous? And there's not much you can do, really, from a performance perspective. But do you get nervous on occasions like this?
Oh, yeah, so I have to admit it. There's such a big build-up to it, and there's a lot riding on it. And more so, you know, when you've got one of the favourites. And, I do. It gets more... it's exciting, but, yeah, certainly get nervous.
So... you and wife Rose bred, own and train Coblenz. From that litter, was there anything else that sort of jumped out?
Yeah, there was 10 in the litter and 9 of them have won. Hilltop Jonah that went real good the other night and Hilltop Jack is quite a good dog, a very good dog, but not as quick early. So the runs don't go on the board for him as much, but he is very good himself, Hilltop Jack. So he has been a good litter. And my brother and his wife actually owned, they were lucky, they had a pick of the 10 and they to buy half a share. And out of the 10, my brother Jeff just happened to pick the right one to go halves in. So it's an exciting, exciting for him as well, I can tell you.
Oh, that's magnificent. And box three, you happy with the draw?
Yeah, it is a good box for him. He's got a great record from the inside. He seems to nail the start most of the time. And box three is good. But the one in box one, Aussie Secret, we were a bit worried about because he's so quick early. He's similar to Koblenz. He can jump very quick most times and does move out a little bit. So somehow we've got to get clear of him and then have a super dog, Aston Rupee. You know, it depends where he sits through the first corner as well. So it's going to be on.
Unlike Donkey Kong. David, you've won the Melbourne Cup before back in 2018, so it was not that long ago with My Redeemer. Can you compare the two dogs?
Yeah, they are slightly different. They're out of My Redeemer. His mother was Where's DeMonica, yet this guy, his grandmother, is Where's DeMonica.
Right.
We're out of our super bitch uphill Jill Koblenz. But My Redeemer is slightly different in the terms of he wasn't as quick early as this guy. He was pretty quick early, My Redeemer, and hence, you know, when he won the Melbourne Cup, he went a very quick 5.05 to the first marker. But this guy can run up to two lengths quicker than that and 1.5 lengths generally, Koblenz, and he is very, very quick early, this guy. And, you know, even with dogs that are this quick early, they every now and then they do miss a start. But he has jumped, I think it's 27 out of his last 28, similar to his father, Fernando Bale.
Yep.
And his mother, Uphill Jill, for that matter. So he's got extraordinary speed. Probably will never get a dog like this again that's got this sort of early pace. But My Redeemer had a real big finish. He was a very powerful dog. And you couldn't, when My Redeemer led, there's no dog could run him down. That was it. It was game over, you know. He just led and you couldn't run him down. He was just too strong and too fast. This guy relies out, getting out in front and just going.
So, David, tonight, $3.10 second favourite is Koblenz. $500,000 for the winner. It's a lot of money. Should we be backing your dog tonight?
Yes. At $3, I think that's about right too. It's about spot on. But we gather he's, you know, we know he's probably got to break 5 seconds to the first 80 metres or whatever it is, 70 to 80 metres. He's got to break five to probably lead the field. But he has done it quite often at Sandown and Meadows and wherever else he's raced. His first splits are very, very fast. So we gather that, you know, he is going to lead. But you know, as in footy, I suppose, for you guys, it's things, funny things can happen. And I'd hate to think, you know, we're not ever thinking about it, but they can bomb the start, these greyhounds. They can bomb it, and he doesn't. But sooner or later, one day, he might, but it better not be tonight. You know, $500,000, it's a lot of money too, but, you know, we won't be thinking about the money. If we do, we're fortunate or lucky enough to win, you don't actually think of that at the time. You just, there's so much riding on it that you want to win the Melbourne Cup, like in footy, or I suppose grand finals, and, you know, tennis, Wimbledon, it's the same thing. You just want to win the big one. And money is sort of irrelevant, but it was pretty good later on. So.
Yeah, you can give it to us if you want. Yeah.
Just send it through.
You can take the cup, we'll take the cash.
So, David, you talk about it's the grand final. Now, a coach gives a player, a human player, instructions about how to play. What are you going to do with the dog before you put it in the box? Do you do something particular to fire the dog up to make sure it gets out quick?
Yeah, you know, look, you're right. There's some little, I call them one percenters, and there are little things I do, and other trainers probably do it with their dogs too, but he relies, he has a stir-up. You know, they bring the lure around a couple of laps and the noise and the sight of the lure, and just to ignite him and stir him up a little bit, even though he has been getting a bit stirred up lately. But, yeah, and then we sort of, you know, I sort of walk with the dog or trotting very quickly at times and just give him little bursts to try and really fire him up. And just little things, and had a chat with my brother about, you know, things during the week. What we do, we keep it the same. We'll keep it the same, maybe alter slightly. His training this week, just slightly, to try and make him fresher, because he has to lead. He's probably got to lead this field. And
yep.
So we're just going in a bit fresher. We know he's fit enough. We just don't want to jade him or sort of have him slightly fatigued or anything. We've just got to get spot on, and we believe we've got it 100%. So, he's just relying. You're relying on the training and managing it during the week, their work, and just making sure he's spot on. He hasn't got too much work, or he's not underdone. You've just got to manage it and get it right.
And the first leg of the quaddy tomorrow is the Ned Sandown Guineas. We've got three-year-old set weights Group 2 affair over the mile. $300,000 up for grabs, Dino, and there are 11 going around. Brigantine for James Cummings has been scratched, number one. Bookmakers have ruled a line, which means all the way down the bottom, Festival Dancer for Matty Smith with Craig Williams in the saddle is favourite, coming off four wins in a row at tab.com.au at around about 3:30, Dino.
Yeah, she's going very well. She's clearly the highest-rated runner in the race now with the scratching of Brigantine. And she's got a great chance, but my theme of the day is sort of horses on relatively fresh legs at the end of the spring. And I think a horse that's really been aimed up at this race is Cardinal Gem for the Graham Begg Yard. I think both runs this time in have been terrific. First up, ran in the Blue Sapphire, and I thought ran well. And then last start, went back to the inside and ran a terrific race behind Bend the Knee at Flemington. And I just think the way this horse is racing, 1,600 metres, is going to suit well. Comes up with a good draw. I think it's got plenty to like about it. Cardinal Gem to beat the filly Festival Dancer. She'll make her own luck up on the speed. As you said, she's in great winning form with four wins on end, and she'll run well again. Port Louis is a horse I've got a lot of time for. He's still a maiden after eight starts. He's running a lot of good races. His effort last start was good when the blinkers went on. I'm still a little bit dubious about him running a strong 1,600 metres, but he's well graded here. And one that comes through a good run at Moonee Valley last start, Yaffet. Really good young rider and Blake McDougall aboard, drawn for a good run. I think Cliff Brown's got this horse ticking over well. He's a maiden as well, but he's certainly going quite well for a race like this. But pretty keen that Cardinal Gem's in the right form at the right time to win the Sandown Guineas.
Dino's looking for a fresh horse at the right time of the year. Quinny, what's the market looking for?
Cardinal Gem, a $5 chance, and has been the second best backed runner at this stage, but Festival Dancer, a market mover, was $7.50 initially, and on the fourth line of betting has been backed from $7.50 into now $3.30, was $3.90 prior to the scratching this morning. Port Louis at $3.80, second leg, Blushing Tycoon at $11. Dino, you alluded to the fact that Festival Dance is the best rated runner and therefore not surprised to see some support. Do you think the $7.50 initially was overs, or the horse has now been overbet all the way down to $3.30?
Yeah, probably a bit of both. I think her win in the Spring Stakes last start was good, and she's going to make her own luck, comes up with a good draw. So there's plenty to like about her. It's just, you know, she's deep into her preparation. She's done it all in one go, as we've said, four wins on end. And before that, she'd actually had five runs leading in. So she's a long way into a campaign. So Matty Smith's a terrific trainer, though, and he's a really good traveller of horses. So, yeah, I think she's a little bit short now.
All right, that's the first leg of the quaddy, the Sandown Guineas over the mile. Rammer, you have one job around these parts, is to recap the numbers as they are read by the great Dean Lester. Can you help us out for the first leg, please?
6, 12, 2 and 8.
6, 12, 2 and 8. So race number 7 is the second leg of the quaddy. It is the feature event of the day. The Zipping Classic, the Herald Sun Zipping Classic over the 2,400 metres. And Ozzy and Bray said to Bossy, don't retire just yet. We've got one more job for you. And they've sat him on Spanish Mission, of course, a place runner in the Melbourne Cup not too long ago. Peter Moody's got the charge now of this horse. He's got all place getters in the Melbourne Cup now. Ozzy has. So Moods has got a couple of them. Spanish Mission, Dino, is $1.50 favourite with Bossy in the saddle to finish him off in the right form. Is that fair enough in your eyes?
I would say so, Daniel. I would say definitely so had the races been at Sandown Hillside. I think probably the vagaries of Caulfield's the only thing that might stop Spanish Mission, but he really, you know, he comes to a terrifically strong, strongly run Melbourne Cup, and that first four broke so far away from the rest. You've got to trust the form of those first four horses across the line, and he had plenty of weight. He ran really well, I think, at level weights with a horse like Warning, who's a Derby winner, and he's in good form. The one thing I would say is that I think Damien Oliver's got the little bit of a whip hand tactically here, in that I think Warning last start, what Nashua did was outstanding in mixing up the tempo and winning the Queen Elizabeth Stakes. And I think Damien Oliver will go out with a very similar tactic to try and get the favourite out of a rhythm. And that would be the only thing that would stop Spanish Mission from winning. But then again, we're saying about Bossy, his own man, he'll just probably ride his own race. And if they want to play games, he might just take him straight forward and make a good thing of him. So I think ultimately he'll probably win. Warning I'm going to put in is just a bit of insurance for the quaddie. He had the likes of Sound, Westwood, Dr. Drill all covered, Luna Flare in the Queen Elizabeth, so I'm happy to think he'll beat them home again. And if there was to be upset, it would be Warning. But I think Spanish Mission should probably provide the fairy tale.
Quinny, Spanish Mission, the fairy tale for Glenn Boss. Are they coming hard for Spanish?
Has been popular. $1.70 into as low as $1.40, back ever so slightly to $1.50. Warning, the only other runner in single figure odds at $5, then double figures or better the rest. Dino, just on Warning, the 2019 VRC Derby winner who's won two in a row. Obviously a bit stiff running into Spanish Mission here, but they've done a great job with this horse and a Derby winner that's going just as well a couple of seasons later.
Yeah, it's really good to see, isn't it? And he was. That four-year-old season is showing it's increasingly hard. When they win the Derby, they go into a Melbourne Cup's preparation with about 52.5, 53, and it's just too hard for the four-year-olds to, in general, to do it. But then as a late four-year-old, he went to Brisbane and won, and then he's had the really good preparation this time in a couple of runs where he was ticking over okay, and then won the St. Ledger and now the Queen Elizabeth. So, yeah, at five-year-old, going well, and will run well here too.
Rightio. That's a pretty good synopsis of Race 7, the feature event of the card, the Herald Sun Zipping Classic over the 2,400 metres. Before we get to Rama's recap, if you were just playing little multi-legs through the day, Dino, what would you do? $1.50, you got Spanish Mission to win it. You got $1.50 for Warning to run a place. There's nine in the field. Would you play, if you just wanted to have a horse in each leg for a place multi, what would you do?
Warning the place.
Warning the place? Yep.
Yep.
Right, because I don't mind playing those games. It's actually a self-interest question, that one.
Okay.
All the way through the field, a little place multi all the way up. One day, I'm going to land it too.
Tomorrow could be the day,
tomorrow,
Daniel.
A bit like Shark. Tomorrow could be the day, I reckon. Rama, who are the numbers, please, for the Zipping Classic and the Quaddie?
1 and 2.
1 and 2. Race number 8 is the Keenow Eclipse Stakes, $200,000 group, 3 over the 1,800 metres. We've got 12 going around, Dino, and smack bang in the middle for the Price Kent Junior Yard with D-Lane in the saddle is Our Playboy out of the inside gate, his favourite at tab.com.au, to round about $2.70. Is Our Playboy in your numbers?
He is in my numbers, Daniel. He's going well. Obviously, won at the end of the Flemington Carnival, backed up well and ran second to King Magnus in the Cranbourne Cup. But I really like a horse called Royal Mile here. He strung together a lot of wins last campaign leading into the South Australian Derby and then was beaten in the Derby. He's quickly found form in Adelaide again. He gets in here on the limit weight. A good young rider in Jacob Opperman. He's just going to have to take his chances here, I'd think, and probably roll forward and lead. And I think if he gets the speed right, Royal Mile will take a lot of running down. I'm with him to beat 6 Hour Playboy, who's going well. I thought probably he was just exclusively a wet tracker until he won at Flemington. So, but then he ran well in the Cranbourne Cup back on the wet ground, gets onto drier ground here, but have to include him. 11, Excel Man. It wouldn't be the Eclipse Stakes without Richard Lemming having a runner. He has one every year, and they're always big odds and often run cheeky races. And Excel Man was a good first-up winner. He won the Sub-Zero Handicap over the Flemington Carnival. 7, Starrell. I think of the mares, she's got a chance here. She's racing well from barrier 4. She's going to get a really cheap run and be competitive. And The other Adelaide visitor in Regalo de Gaetano, in really good form. It's one that's passed two. Every horse at Richard and Chantel Jolly send to Melbourne seem to run well, and this is another one that'll be up on the speed. But, yeah, I think it might be a good race for a really progressive horse like Royal Mile to hit town and get the money. So I'm with him.
Well, a bit outside the favourite there for Dino Quinney. What are the punters doing?
I reckon if we did this segment yesterday, we might be discussing the Ramaruffi, because yesterday morning Royal Mile was still a $15 chance.
Whoa.
It's subsequently been $15 into $6.50, the third elect now at that quote. Wow. Our Playboy, a $2.70 favourite. Star L, $5.50. Ducon, a $12 chance. And Sosibon, very good to this segment a fortnight ago, running third at big odds as the Ramaruffi, the defending champion here. Dino, what's the little niggle with the much-loved Sosibon?
I liked him last start on the wet ground. I think the dry ground's probably going to be a little bit against him. Yeah, just a different race structure. As you said, he is the winner of the race last year, and he'll run a good race. I just haven't got him as a winner, but if you're having trifectas, etc., you'd put him in.
Righto, Rammer. Please recap the Eclipse Stakes numbers for us. Race 3 in the Quaddy leg, third leg of the Quaddy at 5 o'clock local time. Check your local guides. Numbers, please.
10, 6, 11, 7 and 4.
Let's get back to the Quaddy, though. One leg to go at Zipping Classic Day tomorrow. The Key Clean, Quake Clean, Key Clean. Is that what you say, Quinny? You know this.
Oh, geez. I was like, please don't go to Quiddy here.
Key Clean, Kevin Heffernan Stakes, let's just call it that, over the 1,400 metres. I think it's Key Clean. A weight for age Group 3 event, so we know these horses are capable at this level, Dino, or are they? You're the one to answer that question, I suppose. I Am Superman's good. He's very good for Peter and Paul. And Mary's not involved, but I Am Superman is number 7 and favourite at tab.com.au at $3.60.
Yeah, we're pretty happy about all of that, Daniel. I think he's well-placed to win I Am Superman. He's had the two runs back. He ran well in one of the lead-ups to the Everest behind Masked Crusader. He then ran in the Classique Legend, and he didn't have much luck behind Eduardo. That's just outstanding form for a race like this. He's been to Caulfield over the 1,400 on one occasion for a win. He's drawn for a great run. There's just plenty to like about him. The one thing he does need is genuine dry ground, so looks as though he's going to get that, and I think he can win the last. The dangers are 10, Sinawan, who I thought looked a little bit plain first up at Flemington, but interesting to hear Sam Friedman earlier in the week mention that James McDonald came back that day and said he thought the horse got the tongue over the bit. He's since been back to the trials. He's gone well, got the tongue tie on. 1, Streets of Avalon, 1,400 at Caulfield. He's a two-time Group 1 winner. He'd have been targeted at this race. He'll run well. And Renier is another one that's fresh legs, second up from a spell, ran quite well first up, probably got too far back, will be fitter for that run, but happy to think that I Am Superman can win the last.
All right, that's the asterisk horse in the paper. Quinny is the favourite at 360 at the tab. Are the punters coming?
Has been popular. Currently, as you said, a $3.60 market leader. Streets of Avalon, $6.50. Age of Chivalry's been a firmer, $8 into $7. And there's been money for Surprise Baby, $19 Ooh. Into $13. One bet of 1,000 each way at $19. Dino, we love Surprise Baby. You just anticipate the 1,400 might be a bit sharp to be a winning prospect tomorrow.
No, because he's got good, you know, just really good talent. He's trialled up well. He galloped well there on Tuesday morning. I'm hoping, I'm pretty sure he'll run well. Whether he can actually win, that would be the thing. But again, like one earlier, if you're having a trifecta or first four, I'd be putting him in because he's just such a good talent.
All right, the quaddy's done. The Key Clean, Kevin Heffernan, the stakes over the 1,400 metres. Ramit, what are the numbers for that last race, please?
7, 10, 1 and 3.
Now, you're not going to believe this. Another situation evolving through the morning on a Friday on our RSN listeners' viewpoint. Half, I missed the quaddy numbers as I'm sorting through clothes at St. Vinny's looking for a wedding outfit for tomorrow. From Tom in Ballarat.
Where would you have your wedding on a Saturday?
On a Saturday, like most people do.
Yeah.
That's pretty straightforward.
Just. Oh, Whitey. Yeah.
I missed the quaddy numbers. I was busy trying to find out what the hell is going on in Perth from Butsy and Ultima. A tribute to our great friend Frankie Dettori at the back. Hi, guys. Couldn't find a toilet, but all good now, thankfully. Could you please repeat the numbers? Thanks, Mr. Brown. Not sure what that means. Sorry, I missed the quaddy legs. I was placing a bulk order of vanilla slices from Secunda Road Bakery for next week's Media 11 game. Hashtag Wallop. Nice work. We've got the team organised for that.
We have Wednesday, 12:30, Albert Ground.
Righto. Hi, half missed the quaddie numbers. Just working on my way back through this year's podcast to see if Whitey's ever been close to tipping the correct millage on any day. No luck so far, says the Prez. Grant from Recruiting says, hi, boys. Sitting at the trading desk trying to work out whether to choose La Nina in this year's draft or trade for futures to get his little brother, her little brother, El Nino, who's said to be a larger and better prospect. Sorry, I missed the quaddie. Tommy says, I was busy fixing Matt Stewart's telescope in time for summer at the beach. Please read the numbers again. I think he's had that serviced a couple of times in preparation.
It's always prominent in the background on a Zoom.
In my word, it is. I was just outside when I heard a faint, scratchy voice pleading, water, 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 please. It was my new digital rain gauge. I missed the quaddy, says Toby from the Bureau of Meteorology, and they can't get it right. And another one just came through before, which isn't up on my screen. Oh, this is from Gav the Greenskeeper, who was is very animated this morning. He's got his Macklemore on. He says, can Rama please dish out Dino's numbers again? I need to fill up because I'm going to pop some tags and I've got $20 in my pocket. I'm hunting, looking for a come up. This is really awesome, says Gav the Greenskeeper, who's reciting one of the songs, Whitey.
You know what I'm really surprised about is that no one's talked about the thruple.
Well...
because we have to talk about the thruple with Dean, because Dean can explain the thruple because Dean watches Neighbours on a regular basis.
Are you a thrupleman, Dino?
Oh, well, Daniel, Neighbours is going into such dark areas. What they've gone through in the last week, my goodness, I don't know if I can go on.
Oh, it does sound like it's in a strange place.
Well, polyamory and then them sort of sharing... Well, anyway, it's not. There's an itchy and scratchy situation with the thruple people, and it's not going well for them.
So it's fair to say, Dana, you're not a thruppleman.
No. Polyamory is not my thing. No.
Those itchy and scratchy situations in those thruple environments, you should get that looked at. There's no doubt about that. Rama, can you please recap the numbers for these punters out there who are having a rough Friday morning?
Race 6, 6, 12, 2 and 8. Race 7, 1 and 2. Race 8, 10, 6, 11, 7 and 4. And then race 9, 7, 10, 1 and 3.
There you winners. So they're winning numbers for the quaddie tomorrow. Zipping Classic Day at Caulfield. Good luck to you. Make sure you listen tomorrow morning for all the latest information on RSN 927 through the afternoon as well. The Formula Bet's one of our favourite things around these parts, and you can register at the website, rsn.net.au. Click on the competitions page, and Dino invests on your behalf.
I'm just checking this, but I think he got it last week.
Thank you, Adam.
Is it raining in Ballarat?
Yes, Dino did get it again last week after 6 birthday bulletins in a row. Lots of Formula Bets coming his way as well. What's happening tomorrow, Dino?
Hopefully for Justin Rulak of Ferntree Gully, we can get it again. $40 to win race 6, number 6, Cardinal Gem. $40 to win race 9, number 7, I Am Superman. And $40 on the all-up of the pair, race 6, number 6, race 9, number 7. For Justin Rulak of Ferntree Gully.
Well, as we learnt before, Cardinal Gem was about $5, wasn't it, Quinny? This looks like a juicy one already.
Spot on. $5 for Cardinal Gem, then $3.60 I Am Superman. The all-up comes to $18.
Thank you very, very much. Justin will be cheering that home. 6-6 into 9-7 tomorrow at Caulfield for Zipping Classic Day. Let's get to the Rama Ruffy.
Ready to sting the bookies? This is Rammer's Ruffy for the all-new Kia Stinger. The perfect balance of power and refinement. Book a thrill ride and experience the new Kia Stinger.
That's how it sounds. The Kia Stinger, it's a magnificent machine. And Dino is a machine when it comes to tipping winners and Ruffies around these parts. What do you got for us tomorrow, Dino?
Going to go to race 3, Daniel, and a very astute trainer once told me if a trainer's got more than one runner in a race, back the neglected, not the selected. We're going with the roughie of the pair of the Mar Eustaces, and that's race 3, number 6, Lavish Girl. I thought she ran really well in the same race as Decent Rain last start, and as I said, a bit of a theme of my day. She'd had 6 weeks between runs, so comes into this race on the fresh side. I think has got a terrific chance. Race 3, number 6, Lavish Girl.
Back the neglected, not the selected. I like that. I've never heard that before. Quinny, what's the market saying about the neglected?
Currently 11 the win, $3.10 to place.
Thank you. 11 and 3.10 for Lavish Girl. Race 3, number 6, as the Rama Ruffy tomorrow. Josh Ward is now a Hawthorn football player after being recruited with pick number 7 in the NAB AFL draft on a Wednesday night. I'm sure he's pretty pleased about that because he's taken as a lifelong Hawks fan. He joins us on the line this morning. Josh, good morning.
Morning, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Good on you, buddy. Nice to have you with us. Now, you've had a bit of time to absorb all this in the last 48 hours or so. How are you feeling on the Friday after the Wednesday night action?
Feeling good. I feel like it's all sort of sinking in now. It was pretty overwhelming at first, but I sort of had a bit of time at home yesterday just to adjust to it all and, appreciate the fact that I'm an AFL player now, so it's pretty awesome feeling.
What were you expecting Wednesday night? In your head, what did you think would happen?
I honestly had no idea. I mean, speaking to my manager, Tom, I sort of had, he'd sort of mentioned a few clubs' names sort of around that pick 7 to maybe 10 mark, or 5 to 10 before the father-son bids. And, didn't know anything further than that. So, I was very happy to have my name called out.
I think, Josh, one of the real talking points of you has not just been your football ability, but the fact that you were a Hawthorn fan or are a Hawthorn fan. Your family's got such great links to the Hawks. How much more special is that for you and for the family, the fact that you can actually play for the team you barrack for?
Yeah, it's pretty special. I mean, I would have been very, very grateful to go to any AFL club, but for it to be Hawthorn is pretty unbelievable. And, it definitely means that little bit more to me, I think. Sort of having grown up in such a successful era with all the history and success, very very motivated to do whatever I can to try and bring back some more silverware, I guess.
Now I know that your great grandfather, his name was Alex Lee, and I think he wore number 14 and number 28. But what number did you wear growing up as a Hawthorn supporter on your back?
So for me, it was number three early on, which was Jordan Lewis back when I was wearing that, and then when I was about 14, I think switched to 15, which was obviously Hodgie. So I was always very very happy to wear those two numbers.
Josh, so the motivation obviously for the last couple of years is to be drafted, and now that's happened. But through the past couple of years, it's been really tricky for you guys. You haven't played a lot of football. It's been really stop-start. How have you motivated yourself through those times when you have felt flat?
Yeah, it's an interesting question. I've been asked that a few times, but honestly, I didn't find it very difficult to motivate myself at all because I sort of knew that footy was what I wanted to do, but it really helped having a good mate in Ned Long to train with sort of throughout the whole of the COVID period, which meant that I didn't have any excuses not to train, and so I was just able to sort of consistently run 3 times a week and gym as well, because I knew that the sessions would be enjoyable, would have someone else there with me, and we were both pretty set on the end goal, I guess. So motivation never really wavered for us and me.
Now the moment's happened and it's had time to sink in. It's been over 24 hours, obviously, since you've been drafted. Have you had time to think about what's next? How the next couple of months look for you? Because I know with a lot of draftees, they go to a club and they're a little bit starstruck, and they probably waste parts of their preseason. Have you thought about already what you want to work on, what type of player you want to be, questions that you want to ask particular senior players?
I think so. I feel like the second part of that 24 hours, I've sort of been more focusing on what I need to do now in the club already today. So that's been great to get started straight away, and sort of meant I've had to focus on what's right in front of me and what I need to do to get better. So I'm definitely focused on the next few months and just getting stuck into pre-season and trying to learn as much as I can straight away from all my teammates.
Another successful product of the Northern Knights environment in the NAB League. All the greats come out of there. Josh, what are your strengths? What, if Hawthorn supporters are listening, what should they be looking forward to seeing you do in 2022?
I think I'm a pretty reliable player, but also someone that can be creative as well. So I think my ball use by hand and foot's pretty trustworthy, and I think I've always been someone that my teammates can rely on to dispose of the ball well, but as well as that, I think I read the game quite well and can make the right decisions. So I can be quite a good creative option going forward. And apart from that, just I'll work hard around the ground all day and run back in support and run forward as well to try and launch some attacking opportunities.
It sounds like you'd be running all day, which is pretty much the modern game, and you're pretty capable of that. I've been given some information here, Josh, that your 2K time trial was 5 minutes 57. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct.
My hat.
I couldn't drive that fast. Okay.
Is that the fastest at the combine?
No, there was another guy that smashed me. I think he ran about 5:48 or something. But
clearly, drug induced.
Running has always been a strength, and I really wanted to do well at the 2K, so I was pretty happy with that time.
Speaking of doing awesome things, all I keep hearing is that Adrian Dodoro from the Bombers, the list manager, has done awesome things through the draft hand that they were given at this year's NAB AFL draft, and the champ joins us from the Bombers this morning. Good morning, Adrian.
Morning, Harps. How are you, mate?
I'm going very well. You've got one day to go. The rookie draft today, about 3 p.m. Check your local guys. Have you got a spot there?
Potentially, we've got two spots. So, actually heading into the office now to finalise what we're doing today, whether we take a pick or we carry over for the SSP period. So, bit of work to do yet.
Right. Is there an intensity that sort of dissipates or drops off after the first round action on Wednesday night? Does the intensity of the build-up to the draft sort of drop off Thursday and Friday?
Oh, no, I think it builds. I think for recruiters, it actually gets more intense the following night. The first night, fairly predictable because everyone sort of knows who the top-end talent is, and obviously you're anxious, but I think the real guts of the draft is those next 40-odd picks where you're trying to manoeuvre and everyone likes the player and you're trying to get that player. And there wasn't much trading last night, to my surprise, but there's a lot of phone calls happening that the public don't see.
Yeah, okay. It's interesting. You got Ben Hobbs at pick 13. He's your first pick. You had 13, yep. 46 and 50. Ben Hobbs is a highly touted young player who, by all reports, you were rapt to get a hold of it at 13. What did you like about that young man?
He's a pro. He's come through the Ballarat Rebels, obviously, and captain the Rebels, big country. He's physically ready to play. He's just a pro. You very rarely get the opportunity to draft kids that have prepared themselves to play league footy, and he's one of those guys. He'll come in and he'll set standards at an extremely high level. He'll fit in with Zach Merritt and Dyson Heppel and Andy McGrath straight away. So that was the real appealing thing. Obviously, our culture is super important, and to bring in people like Ben Hobbs is a fantastic result for a club.
Adrian, when Port Adelaide traded just before your pick, what were you thinking? Was that excruciating, waiting for the name that they called out?
I wouldn't say it was excruciating. It was interesting because they flipped the one to get just ahead of us. But I'll be honest, when we just had eyes, when Ben got, 10, 9, 10, you thought, oh, hang on, what's going here? What's going on here? We were just anxious at that stage because we thought, geez, we were a big chance to get him, and luckily we did.
The cameras have always loved you, and they were on you quite often last night. I'm not 100% sure why.
I think the camera just loves Adrian.
Wait, that's the reason why we were wearing those tight tops last night.
But before pick 46, you were chewing on a green highlighter, and that green highlighter got thrown on the desk pretty hard. Was there something that you missed in that range last night?
Coming from you, I think you really. I think you're setting me up here, Ramon.
I'm not setting you up. I want to get into the mind of Adrian Dodoro, what he's thinking.
Oh, well, sounds like a setup.
Well, yeah. Well, look. Obviously, as I said before, there's a lot of players that you target throughout the night, and there were a couple that we heavily targeted, and we were trying extremely hard to
to move up the order, but just wasn't to be last night. So, yeah, I'll be honest. Yeah, there was a couple of plays that we might have missed out on last night, but that's drafting. As Sheed's always said, you can't get them all.
Mm. And you talk about you moving up the draft order. So this is what we don't see. We don't see the behind-the-scenes phone calls that are going on in the rooms. But how many were going on last night? How many active possibilities were going for you last night?
I think we started being active probably as soon as the first pick. We were trying to work our way down. But I think it's probably a testament to the quality of the draft last night, because all the clubs probably saw that there was a lot of talent there and wanted to hold their picks. I think most clubs took their picks. There were little swaps. There wasn't anything significant. But I think everyone thought, geez, there's talent here. Let's just take our picks and good on them.
Do you think overall, Adrian, that the draft pool is better than maybe what you thought it would be based on what's happened in the last 2 years?
I think it'll be a very good draft pool in 3 or 4 years' time. I think obviously the issue we've had is that the Victorian kids haven't played for 2 years. They've got very limited footy. So, and I'm sure there'll be a Victorian boy out of this draft that will all be looking back and say, geez, how'd they miss him? Because they haven't had that continuity throughout their last 2 years, as opposed to the South Australian and the West Australian boys. So I think right now it's a good draft. I think in 3 or 4 years' time it'll be a great draft.
And does that what makes the rookie draft even more important today, is that there are still some diamonds in the rough that are there that, you know, could conceivably in a different year, had they played a full year of footy, be players that could have been drafted in the teens or the 20s?
Oh, absolutely, Adam. They're hard to identify, obviously, because there's so limited vision of these guys. And obviously, there was a lot of games we weren't able to see because of COVID and what have you. And I actually thought that the identification for Victorian kids was tougher this year than last year, because at least last year we saw their bottom age year.
Yep.
This year, you didn't really see their bottom age year either. So that, I thought, was the difficult thing. So let's just hope that we can get back to normal next year.
Did you go in with a plan to get a particular style of player or inject certain positional players in? Outside the best talent one with 13, was it just positional and needs as opposed to best talent?
Obviously last year we were pretty tall. We brought in a lot of tall players, and we're probably a tallish list, to be honest. So we wanted to improve our depth, on-ball depth, and speed and endurance is something that was a bit of a focus for us. So obviously, all the boys that we brought in have got very good endurance runners. Lord's got great speed. Garrett, McDonough, speed, endurance. And Hobbs, as we've said, he's terrific agility and endurance. So we wanted to get some engines in the door, and I think we've achieved that.
That was the best of the Breakfast Club. If you want to hear the full interviews again, go straight to the website, rsn.net.au.